Thank you, Lord. Oh, the Lord is good. Good, good and gracious. Great and faithful. Merciful and magnificent. Hallelujah. And you could keep going. Go with me to Ephesians 6, if you would, please. Ephesians 6. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now, and we're calling it All Kinds of Prayer, and it may be misnamed. I don't know, because the only thing we've talked about so far is in the Spirit, right? But we can change titles. That ain't no problem. We've done it before. You know, we know in part, and you step out with what you know, and as you go, you learn more. That's in everything. But we've been talking about from our main text here in Ephesians 6, verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer. He didn't just say prayer. If you look at other translations, they say all kinds of prayer. And supplication in the Spirit. Everybody say in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And like we'd said before, when you think about it, that's the only way you could pray for all saints. You don't even know all saints and don't know what's going on in most of the world or most of the body of Christ. But thank God, praying in the Spirit, the Lord can use you to cover a lot of ground. And you can pray about things that's beyond your head, beyond your mind. Well, verse 19, he said, and for me, Paul is saying here, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let me read this to you from the NIV in verse 18, NIV. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all saints. Did you notice pray, praying, prayer, pray? Verse 19 starts off with what? Pray also for me. Now, Paul is a man who knows God, and he, through his writings, we learn about faith and redemption and righteousness. And so why is he asking for prayer? Huh? I mean, if that had been some folks today, they would write back to him and say, man, just walk by faith. You know, stand on the word. Quit asking for prayer. That'd be wrong, right? Because the Holy Spirit inspired this. So we know this is the right thing to do. And I want to talk about that some today. Why do we need to do this? What's involved? So he said, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me. Well, Paul, very educated man, especially for his time. I mean, he would have been the equivalent of someone with multiple doctorates today. He spoke multiple languages in a day when most people couldn't even read. He is a scholar. He is, you know, he trained at the feet of the best there was in that part of the country, Gamaliel. He was, you know, learned. But he said, pray for me so I'll have the right words. Is it so that you could speak 9 languages and still not have the right words? Huh? Now we're beginning to see why he's saying pray. That words may be given me so that I will fearlessly, and that's what he says instead of boldly, boldness is confidence. It's not pushiness. And it's certainly not arrogance. You're bold because you know. You're bold, you're confident, you're not vacillating, wavering, could be, might be, we don't know, we'll see. No, you say, we know, because you're sure. Yes. Hallelujah. That's what makes you bold. And that's only the case if you do know. And that's what he's saying, pray for me so that I'll have this. I'll have the words. I will know. I'll have the boldness, the anointing. And no matter how long you've been doing it, how much you think you might know, like I did, well, I didn't, wasn't planning on it, but that's what I was saying about this past week. Until he gives it to you. Now, you can do something. Oh, yeah. You can try to wow people with your vocabulary and your eloquence, and it'll be dead and empty as last year's bird nest and just as dry. And I'm not interested in doing that. That is no fun at all. So what do you need? You need the anointing. You need the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you remember that's what he started off in the previous verse. Praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer. And he said, and pray in the Spirit for me. So that I'll have something from the Spirit. Right? I'll have the utterance. I'll have the boldness. I'll have the anointing. And this is why we need to pray for all our ministers. Huh? And really, you're praying for yourself, because what comes out of them affects you. Now, in Colossians, the 4th chapter, and the 2nd verse, Colossians 4 and 2. Verse 2, he said, continue in prayer. You know, he told us, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean every breath you're praying. It just means there's never a day you don't pray. You don't go days and weeks and don't pray. Everybody say, I pray. Every day. Every day. I pray. Do you need to? Yes. Are there reasons why you need to? And are there things that will not happen if you don't? Are things you'll miss if you don't? Things you won't be aware of if you and I don't. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, we talked about that some last week about seeking. And that's what the Lord said in Matthew 7, you know. Matthew 6, he talks about, we camped on that about teach us to pray. He talked about don't pray like this, don't pray like this, don't pray like this. Then he gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer, pray like this. And then it leads up to the 7th chapter. Go ahead and put Matthew 7:7 on the screen then. Matthew 7:7, he ended up talking about this. Ask, and what'll happen? What else? Seek. And you'll find. What else?
Knock.
Knock, and it shall be open to you. This is some of the main things we do in prayer. We ask, but it's not just all asking. We seek. Seek means you're looking for something. Why are you looking for something? So you can find it. Right? Will you find it if you don't look? No. Will it be given if you don't ask? You know, James says you have not because you didn't ask. Right? Are you asking amiss? So, no, these things are not just optional. If we don't do them, we will miss out on some things. Everybody say ask.
Ask.
Seek.
Seek.
Knock.
Knock.
What did the Lord say? If you ask, look at it again. These are the words of the Master. Ask, and he said, what would happen? What would happen? It shall be. Not could be. Not might be. It shall be given to you. Seek, and what? And you shall find. God is not trying to hide stuff from us. He's not making, He's not going, huh, they'll never find this. You know? I mean, understand, if he wanted to hide it from us, there'd be no way we would ever. No, well, why do I have to search? Why there got to be effort involved? Because of where you live. You live in the midst of a curse-filled, demon-filled, death-filled, dark, dark place. Now, we don't realize how dark it is and how oppressed it is here because this is the only place we've ever lived. This is all we know. But this is why people who leave, you couldn't pay them to come back. I'm talking about saved people. No, why? Because the moment you get out of here, you realize, oh, Lord. Whew. But, you know, and that, I think that's one of the reasons we're not told too much about heaven. We don't need to be thinking about it right now. We need to be focused on our job, right? And finish, because we'll be out of here soon enough. I mean, you live another 50 years, it's going to go by in a flash. But the reason you have to ask and you have to seek and you have to knock and you have to be persistent is because there are forces of darkness trying to keep you out of it. Trying to blind you, trying to confuse you, trying to distract you. That's not God doing it to you. That's not Him trying to make it hard to get to. It's the enemy. But God is faithful. And if you won't give up, you'll get it. Hallelujah. You'll find it. And it'll be open to you. Now, we've talked about the first two a little bit. I want to talk about this third one some today. Say it out loud, knock. Say it again, knock. And what'll happen? Why are we knocking? So something would be opened to us. Now keep reading in Colossians 4. We read verse 2, let's keep going. Colossians 4, continue in prayer, watching the same, with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us. Now again, this is Paul. He asked the church at Ephesus to pray for him. Now he's asking this other church. Colossians, of course, the Lord used him to help found these churches. And it's only right that they be hooked with him and pray for him. But he said, pray for us that God would do what? Open unto us a what? A door of what? Utterance. Door. Well, the word door means just what we think we do. I mean, it does in English. It is an opening. It is a portal. It is something that allows access or movement into or out of. It's an access point. And spiritually, there are doors. Doors you can't see. Doors that are closed, doors that are open. You remember in Revelation, the Lord said this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now he's talking about your door. There's a door to your heart. And you can close it off and say no access. Or you can open it up. Now you know you can do that with other human beings.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yep. Don't look so innocent. You can clam up. You can close off.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you could see in the spirit, doors are closed. Sure. Right? Yes, they're not open. They don't want to hear you, see you, talk to you. Doors are closed. And there are other situations where both doors wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I want to be around you. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to see. And the Lord is saying, I'm not just going to blast my way into your heart and life.
That's right.
I'm knocking.
That's right.
Huh? Isn't that what he told us to do?
Yeah.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open to me, he said, I'll come in. Oh, has anybody around here opened the door to the Master? Jesus, did he come in?
Yes.
He said, I'll come in and sup with you. I mean, that's a picture of a family sit-down meal. Hallelujah. Where you don't just share mashed potatoes, you share your visions and dreams, right? While you talk and while you eat. And fellowship. That's what the Lord wants to have. But he will not force himself upon you or me or anybody. He knocks. And if he has to knock for access into some things, we have to knock. Come on, you see what I'm saying? And he's the one who told us there in Matthew 7:7 and 8, knock, and it'll be open to you. And isn't that what he's talking about here in Colossians? He said, pray for us, for Colossians 4:3. Pray for us that what? That God would open to us a what? A door of utterance. Does he need that?
Yes.
See, in this life and in this world, there are all kind of things that, and situations and peoples and groups and families and cities and countries and areas that are absolutely shut down, closed down to God, to the gospel, by the enemy. Some places the enemy's had them locked down for hundreds of years. And darkness is prevailing. What do you tell us to do? Huh? Open, Lord, we want in. Huh? Help us get this door open. Why? So we can go in, so the gospel can go in. And the same thing has helped us will help them. The anointed word of the living God. Somebody say hallelujah. Pray for us that God would open to us a door of utterance to do what? To speak the mystery of Christ. That's what the opening is for. To get in. I mean, you know, there are numerous countries in the world today. If you go to that country in one of their main cities, and you go out on the street with a Bible and you start preaching Jesus, you will be arrested. They are not open at all. But we know somebody. I said, we know somebody that can open doors. Glory to God. But in order for him to have a right to do it, when instead of just doing it indiscriminately for everybody, it would need to be that somebody asked him to do it, and somebody in faith is seeking and knocking about that. And that's why the Spirit of God, through Paul, is telling the churches at Ephesus and also at Colossae, pray about this. Pray about this with all kinds of prayer. Pray in the Spirit about this. What? That there would be open doors, that there would be utterance, that there would be access, and the mystery of the Anointed One, the Messiah Jesus, would be revealed. Oh, somebody say amen and amen and amen. And he goes on to say, verse 3, that God had opened to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Glory to God. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Other scriptures say the opportunities. The time and the opportunities for what? The opening, the access. Phillips' translation says that God may open us a door for the entrance of the gospel, an opening for the message. Look in Acts, the 14th chapter, or they'll put it on the screen, 14:27. Acts 14:27. When they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had what? Opened the door of faith. Hallelujah. Opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, a door of utterance, a door of faith. This is part a significant part of what we should be praying about on a daily basis. Not just throw up our hands and say, well, that bunch is lost. They've been in darkness now, you know, for 500 years. Nobody can get in there. Oh, yes, they can. I said, oh, yes, they can. It can happen. It can change in our generation. That's part of what we were talking about earlier when we're praying for our president and our country. I believe that's one of the great reasons why the United States exists. So that the gospel can go from here in power all over the world. We're not the only ones, but we're supposed to be a powerhouse in that regard. But there also has to be doors. There has to be access to get in. And the things that have been stopping it have to be changed, sometimes removed, and closed doors opened. Now look with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. You find this more than one place in the Scriptures, multiple times in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 2:12, 2 Corinthians 2:12, he said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a what?
A door
was opened to me of the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep going. I had no rest in my spirit. I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from there into Macedonia. Now, everybody say Macedonia.
Macedonia.
We're going to look at another verse in connection with that. Verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now, keep that in the context of what we just read, and makes manifest the savor, we would say fragrance, of his knowledge by us in every place. God opens doors. He sends his anointed people. When we come in the door, beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Hallelujah. When we come through the door, God causes the fragrance of eternal life and deliverance and healing and liberty to radiate. Hallelujah. Across and prepare everyone to hear the gospel, the truth that sets free. But man cannot do this alone. No matter how much effort you put into it and how much work you try to make something happen or to open a door or to gain access without the Lord's doing it. Remember what the prophet said? Not by might. Not by power. But what? By my spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, let me read that to you. Somebody might not know that. Hold your place. Where are you? Hold your place, 2 Corinthians. Put up on the screen, please, Zechariah 4 and 6. I want you to see another verse that actually goes with this. Zechariah 4, 6. We just got through reading it. He said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 7, who are you, O great mountain? And see, the mountain's blocking stuff. The mountain's in the way. Otherwise, why are you dealing with it? You will become a plain. Huh? We're about to have a new view. This big old thing has been blocking everything, holding everything out in the way, and it's big. It's mountain big, and it's hard. I mean, mountains are granite and hard, but before God, you will become a plain. And he'll bring forth a headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace! Grace to it! The mountain couldn't keep the grace out. The mountain couldn't keep the gospel out. And how did it happen? Wasn't by your might. Wasn't by my power. We prayed. Others prayed. We asked God. Open us a door. Hallelujah. Open us a door. And it didn't happen in 3 weeks, but we just kept on knocking, saying, Lord, open that thing up for us. Open that door. Open that door. Open door. You got to come open. You cannot keep those people in the dark. You cannot keep them lost and blind and bound. No, you can't. No, you can't. And so you get to pray, and you pray in the Spirit. And you pray about a number of things as the Lord helps you, and then you'll hear. A lot of these things you'll hear on the news. Something changed. That government's gone. And you hear people using words like, things have really opened up. Things have opened. Oh, yeah, they have. Yeah, they have. Spiritual doors have opened, and now the gospel can come in. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look in Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts chapter 16 and 5. Now, we just got through reading in 2 Corinthians 2. He said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit. And he said, when I took my leave from them, I went from there to Macedonia. Everybody say Troas, Macedonia. Now in Acts 16, verse 5, he said, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That should be our confession. Everybody said out loud,
we are
established
in the
faith,
increasing
in number
daily.
If we just increased one, that's increase,
right?
And of course, the Lord can do much more than that. But that's always His will with every work, with every church, being established and increasing. Verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Well, didn't the Scripture say go into all the world and preach the gospel? And yet the Holy Spirit's telling them, don't go there. Don't go there. Would the Lord tell you, don't go there right now? Why? Because in many cases, sometimes just spiritually, and sometimes where you're concerned, the door is not open. And all you'll do is bump your head against the wall, waste your resources and efforts, and maybe get killed. Y'all are too quiet. we're still talking about in the Spirit. We're praying in the Spirit. We're looking for things in the Spirit. We're being led daily by the Spirit. Can you say by the Spirit? Verse 8, passing by Mysia, they came down to where?
Troas.
Now see, that's 2 Corinthians. We just got through reading about it. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Wonder what that's the result of. Anybody's been praying? Have you read these verses?
Yeah.
They're looking for where to go. They're asking. They're seeking. They're knocking. They didn't just go anywhere. For one thing, you're one person. Right? You'll never travel to 1% of the world. Right? But you're not the only one that can do it. But the Lord knows who's ready for you and who's not ready for you. Huh? And He knows what's open to what He's going to have you do and what's not. Now, I know that some people don't like this kind of talk because they think, well, it doesn't matter. Just go do something. It does matter. I said, it does matter.
Yes.
And people don't like the idea that you actually have to pray and be led.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. To have real results. And something that matters and something that lasts versus getting in trouble, getting hurt, wasting your time, wasting your resources. Are we still talking about praying?
Yes, sir.
Do we need to pray?
Yes, sir.
Who needs to pray?
I
huh?
Yeah.
Every day?
Yes, sir.
Every day.
Every day.
Why? Because these are the kind of things we got to find out. He said they in the nighttime, so we might call it a dream. There stood a man of Macedonia. You know what we just got through reading in 2 Corinthians 2:13. He went from Troas to Macedonia. He said a door was opened to me of the Lord. And here we see how it happened in the book of Acts. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Everybody say, not Phrygia, not Galatia, not Bithynia. All of that was a no. Right? Where are we going?
Macedonia.
Why? Because we got the green light that the door is open over there.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We got the door open.
Yep.
And here we go.
Yes.
We going while the door is open.
Yes.
Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, you know when... And go to Acts 22. When Paul first got saved, you could say the very beginning of his ministry, his development in ministry. You know, prior to that, he was Saul, who persecuted the church, tried to destroy the church. But he got saved and became an apostle and a father in the faith, builder of churches. Founder of churches. But in Acts 22 and 13. Acts 22, 13, you know, when, was it Ananias that came and prayed for him? Is that right? Verse 12? Did I say that right? He said, Brother Saul? Yeah, Ananias. Verse 13, he said, receive your sight. In the same hour I looked upon him. It came to pass that when I was come to Jerusalem, even while I prayed, while I was praying. Now, we talked about this a while back, that they went up to the temple at the hour. Everybody say hour. Hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And you know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? An hour of praying is not a long time. That should be like a normal amount.
Amen.
Do you see how far we've slipped? An hour praying is supposed to be just like normal. That's not a long time of praying, according to the scriptures. That was their custom, the hour of prayer. Y'all are too quiet. The great thing about it, we can make a change. Right? And the scripture said, when I came to Jerusalem, while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. So man, God gave him an experience. I saw him. He saw the Lord saying to me, make haste, hurry up, and get you quickly out of Jerusalem. For they will not receive your testimony concerning me. Does Paul have an open door here at this time?
Yes.
He does not. If he had tried to preach here at that time, he would have missed God. Because the Lord told him what? Get out of town. Get out of town. And Paul even argued with him a little bit. Paul said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on you. And the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed. I was standing by, consenting to his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. He thought, man, this is going to be a great testimony, because they knew how bad I was, and they're going to see I'm saved. Man, this place is ripe for revival. And the Lord said, you need to get out of town. What did the Lord say to him? Verse 21, he said to him, depart. What does that mean?
No.
Go. For I'm going to send you far from here to the Gentiles. Why? Because he was opening doors for him there. Oh, come on, can you see this? And for him, this is not the place. And this is not the time. For him, it's going to be far away over there and with a group of people that they thought God had no use for. And there's a lot to look at there. But do we need to pray about where to go and when to go and how to do it? These are reasons why things haven't worked like they should, and why people have just fallen on their face and floundered around and been worn out. Why? Weren't graced to do it. Weren't sent to do it. It wasn't open to them for that time, and they didn't know. They were clueless because they didn't pray. They never asked the Lord. They never waited on him and sought him about it. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Corinthians 16 and 9. Thank you, Lord. He said, a great door and effectual is opened to me. And everybody's happy about it. The devils are lined up against it. Many adversaries. Why? Because the enemy wants everything closed. Closed. Shut down against the gospel, against the word, against the truth. But tough. They can't control everything. And you and I believe God. Ask God. Pray. Listen to him. He opens doors.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And when he opens them, it makes all the demons in that part of the world mad. It makes them mad. It makes them mad. But all they can do is say, we're going to stop you. We can't shut it. It's open now. But we're going to stop you. They can line up. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Yeah, there'll be some resistance. Yeah, there'll people write some ugly things about you in the paper. Yeah, there's something. But you don't let it faze you. You don't let it stop you. You go in the power of his might and do what he said and deliver the prisoners. Hallelujah. Bring them out of the jailhouse to full salvation. The ESV says, a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. But don't let that bother you. Don't let that bother you. That you just keep shouting about the door's open. Hey, door is open. Did you see all them demons? I don't care about that. Have you seen all these angels with me?
Yes, that's
right. Huh? Go to Acts 16 and let's talk about God opening doors. Like we saw in Zechariah, not by your might nor by our power, but what? By his Spirit, says the Lord. There are so many things you and I just cannot do in these regards. There are religious strongholds, even in churches where people are Christians. But they are just absolutely, they got strongholds in their mind against large portions of the Scripture. And it's costing them. It's allowing the enemy to still kill and destroy in their life. But they've been believing this stuff for hundreds of years. And you might think, well, we just need to blast in there and get them set free. You can't just do these things. You got to follow your Lord. You got to listen to His Spirit. Do things His way. When and where and how He says. That's the only way you're going to see what's supposed to happen. And in Acts 16, you know the story of how Paul and Silas, and we got a glimpse of how they're operating. They didn't just willy-nilly go whenever, however. They're praying. Did you hear that in the book of Acts? They wanted to go over here, and the Lord said no. Then they said, well, we'll go over here. Now, this is Paul. These are spiritual people. I'm going to go over here. And the Spirit said, no, I forbid you. Why would He say something like that? Well, the same thing why He said to Paul when he first got saved, get out of town. Well, don't these people need the gospel here? They sure do, but not you, not now. Huh? Get out of town. Where? I got you an appointment over with the Gentiles. Way away from here. Yay. And even though it wasn't all easy and there were all kind of challenges, the door was open for him to preach. And that's what these churches we're reading about came out of this. Big churches at Ephesus, big churches at Colossae and Thessalonica and all these places. Why? Paul could not have done this in his own power or by his own might. God heard their prayers, opened the door, anointed him, sent them through. Hallelujah. And the forces of darkness were pushed back and the people were saved. Hallelujah. In Acts 16, while doing some of this, they got arrested. They got beat and flogged. They got put in prison, in chains and shackles. And in Acts 16:25, at midnight, and this is so graphic, midnight's late, midnight's dark, right? What do you do at midnight? Huh? You better pray, brother. Sister, right? Man, it's dark in here. Woo, it is late and it's dark. We've been beat. We're hurting. We're sore. This is not, we want to be having revival tonight. And we're in here. What do you better do? What do you better do? Paul and Silas prayed. They prayed. And they must have prayed through to victory. Because then they start singing praises to God. And they're not singing quiet under their breath. They're singing loud, and the prisoners heard them all through the prison. Huh? Are we still talking about prayer? And tell me what happened. Tell me, verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were what? Shaken. Man, God shakes stuff. And immediately all the doors, all the doors, all the doors throughout that whole place. Now, without a key, without a human being, huh? God opens doors. Huh? Doors that men say can't be opened. Huh? Doors that enemy says, no, we've had that locked up for 800 years. You ain't getting in here. And it might look like it. It may seem like it. And previous generations might have failed to get in there. But, prayed. They prayed. And then they praised. And they prayed and they praised. And they prayed and they praised. And God says, I got this. I got this. And He shook that place. And the doors that nobody could open, the doors that were locked up, rusted up, nailed down, boom, 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 boom. Doors open everywhere. All the doors.
All the doors.
all the doors were open, and at the same time, chains just fell off. Shackles, chains, handcuffs. You heard clinking and rattling all through. And everybody's going, oh, thank God. Thank God. All the doors, boing. All the chains off. And God did it like that. He did it with one supernatural earthquake. Now, this is some earthquake. The building doesn't come apart and doesn't collapse, but the doors pop open. The foundation isn't cracked. Nobody dies, but the chains just fall off. Now, that's an earthquake. That is a God earthquake. Hey, can you say amen? Whew. Go to Revelation 3 in closing, I think. Hallelujah. Does it pay to pray? When you see something that's not right, you see a people in a place closed up to the gospel, closed up to God, don't despair. Don't say it can't be. Don't say that's a lost cause. Pray. Everybody say pray. And part of the things we pray, we ask, we seek. Tell me what else we do. We knock and talk to the Lord about opening doors, about gaining access into that. Now, there's a whole nother application for you personally. Maybe it's a school you think you're supposed to get into. Maybe it's an area of a business you think you're supposed to get into. Now, don't just grab something off the top of your head and say, I want to do that. No, you go to Him, ask Him what His will and His plan is. And then if He directs you to make application for that, or to see about working there, or to see about being a part. And if they say, oh, no, I mean, there's a 2-year waiting list. No, there's a, you don't have the right connections. You just smile and you don't let that move you. One iota. And you come back home and you talk to the Lord about it. And you say, Lord, I believe you told me to get in there, so I'm asking you to open this thing up for moi. Oh, right. Open this thing up. Huh? Give me access. Right? I'm telling you, this works in every level, every area, but you have not because you didn't ask. You don't find because you didn't see. It's not open because you didn't knock. In Revelation 3 and verse 7. He said to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key. Who's got the key? You know what? You know something big happened when the Lord went to the heart of the earth and he rose from the dead? He said, I got the keys. The devil lost his keys. Yes. He can't find them. And the Lord says, I got them. I got them. I got them. He that what? Opens and no man shuts. Oh, don't you like this? Don't you like this? Who's bigger than our God? Who's greater than our God? He can open up a thing, and it don't matter how mad it makes who or how much they try to shut it up and close it up. What He opens, no man can shut. And when He shuts up something, no man can open. Some things need to be shut down. They're evil. They're hurting people. They're deceiving people. And that's what we pray about that too. Didn't Jesus talk about, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is what we do in concert with knocking and seeking and asking when the Lord prompts you is also binding and shutting down and also loosing. Keep reading. He said, he that opens and no man shuts. He shuts and no man opens. Verse 8, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Now, from what we've already learned, do you suppose anybody prayed about that? What would give the Lord a legal right to do it in the earth for these people and not for everybody, like we've been seeing the whole time? Somebody asked him to. Somebody sought it. Somebody knocked. And he heard and he gave. And he saw the seeking and he caused to find. And he heard the knocking and the request and he opened up. So somebody say hallelujah. I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet, please. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord with whom we have to do. The gracious God, the faithful Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Go ahead, lift your hands, lift your voice. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Our forefathers who came across the Atlantic in those rickety wood boats, they were looking for an open door. They were looking for access to a place of freedom where they wouldn't be under somebody else's thumb religiously, where they could believe the word and preach the real gospel. We have this great country as a result, hundreds of years later. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. I should, many scores of years later. Other countries are still in the dark. And you and I have come to the kingdom just such a time as this. Said out loud, Father God, thank you for my life in this time. Show me why I'm here, what I'm to be a part of, to see access, open doors for your gospel, for it's now dark, where it's been shut up. Show us how to pray, how to ask, how to seek, how to knock, how to believe, what actions to take, even as you showed them. Thank you for showing us where not to go, where to go. You are so faithful. You are so gracious. And we say, here am I, Lord. Use me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Where you lead.